Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast with Mike Tagliere, and I'm Bobby Sylvester. You can find us on Twitter at Mike Tagliere NFL and at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Tags, what's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. Just another day of backstabbing in the NFL. Training camp is here, and we're starting to see more and more things happen. And the big news for today, obviously, is Jordan Matthews injured his hamstring yesterday. And it was reportedly that it was a pretty bad hamstring injury, whatever that means. And the Patriots released him today. Like, they were just, like, cold-blooded. Like, okay, you're not going to be here. Out. Like, you're done.
Man. Yeah, that's the Patriots, man. And you know what? That's probably why they win, too, is because they do stuff like that.
I just don't know who they're going to be playing at wide receiver this year.
Like, Eric Decker, man.
That actually, it's funny you bring that up, is some people have mentioned that, and they brought him in for a visit, I think, yesterday, right after the injury occurred to Jordan Matthews. So, if you tie the knots together there, like, I think Eric Decker might be the receiver to own if he does go to New England.
I agree. I was going to ask if you even think he's worth drafting. I think he could be the red zone weapon. Obviously, they have Rob Gronkowski. They pass to their running back. But Tom Brady, like, he's going to have 25, 30 passing touchdowns like always. And if he does, Eric Decker, he's been a machine whenever he's healthy. I know he's a lot older, but he's definitely worth owning in my mind if he gets signed by the Patriots.
Decker has not played with some very, like, the quarterbacks he's played with throughout his career outside of Peyton Manning. And, like, you saw what he did with Peyton Manning. There was a 4-touchdown game in there, I think. Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Jets. Marcus Mariota had his worst NFL season last year, so he wasn't very good. You go back to the Tim Tebow days. Eric Decker's played with so many bad quarterbacks. To see him go play Tom Brady, I think people would underestimate what his value would be in that offense. But here's the thing. You know, we talked about it throughout this offseason. Players who sign with a team this late in the offseason, it's really tough for them to gain any chemistry with the quarterback or, you know, learn a brand new offense this time of the year. So if they are going to sign Eric Decker, I believe it has to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually thought he was a lot older than he is. He was just 30 years old last season. And in his past 6 years, he's got a wide receiver 8, wide receiver 10, 29, 10. Then he was hurt in 2016. Last year was just a disaster for everyone on the Titans. So he's young enough, man. I think that he can get the job done. I don't know if he's like more than a flex play or anything like that, but he's definitely someone to pay attention to and start grabbing in best ball leagues.
Oh, yeah, especially over the first 4 weeks where Julian Edelman's out, because Chris Hogan is known as to be the number one receiver there. But they have a pretty tough schedule to start the year. So he might see some top corners. They might say that, you know, Chris Hogan's the top guy and they're going to assign a top corner to him. And then Eric Decker just plays the slot and moves outside a little bit because he can play all those roles. That's the best thing about Eric Decker, is that he could play anywhere on the field. So I think it would be a smart move on New England's part, because I don't think you want to rely on Kenny Britt going into the season.
I'm surprised Kenny Britt is still on the team. I mean, not really, because they have so many injuries and everything like that. Malcolm Mitchell just had knee surgery, and so who knows what's going to happen there. But Kenny Britt just doesn't offer anything.
Well, people are waiting. People are expecting Kenny Britt to become a thing, and I'm not one of those people. I know there's a lot of people that believe that Kenny Britt's going to become a thing. I'm not one of those people. I've never been a Kenny Britt truther. Like, he had a flash at the beginning of his career, but ever since then, I want to say – I don't think he's ever topped 800 yards in his career.
I'll believe in Braxton Berrios before I believe in Kenny Britt.
You might be better off doing that, honestly.
So here's what we have planned today, all right? Tags and I each have a handful of sneaky upside players. Not like your traditional Aaron Jones or anything like that. It's guys that we haven't really talked about that much as having upside, but they definitely have upside. Then we'll discuss some offensive tendencies, how they're going to impact fantasy football this year. Before we get into all that, though, I want to say congratulations to the winner of the signed Keenan Allen powder blue jersey from pristineauction.com. It's Christian V from Wisconsin. Congrats to Christian, and thank you sincerely to everyone else who submitted entries. Tags and I read them all. We love reading them. Even if it's just, you know, constructive criticism, we want to make the podcast better. We love hearing your feedback. Now, we've got another contest starting up, and all the old entries are still in play. If you haven't submitted an entry yet and want to get in, go to fantasypros.com/contest, and you'll have a chance to win a signed David Johnson jersey. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest. By the way, check out pristineauction.com, which is where the jerseys came from. They've been kind enough to let us do these contests, and their site has something for everyone listening to the show. Hundreds of lots that end daily, and it comes authentic from only the most trusted sources. You won't believe how cheap some of this stuff is, too. I saw a signed Warren Moon Oilers jersey for just $72, a signed Jadeveon Clowney jersey from South Carolina for just $52. There's helmets, there's something with every team. There's stuff from like pop culture and Hollywood, everything like that. You all are going to love Pristine Auction. Check out what they have for you, and please be sure to let them know Fantasy Pro sent you. That way we can keep doing these giveaways. All right, Tech, so I did want to talk about Eric Decker and Jordan Matthews, obviously, but you know, I know we've talked about the Seattle backfield a lot, but it just keeps coming out more and more. Apparently, Chris Carson is now the favorite to start, according to beat writers, though. I don't know if this means like he's playing more first-team snaps, he's going to start in the preseason, or if like they actually think he's the starter in the NFL. I don't know how to read into this one because there's just so much noise. And anytime we hear this, so much noise, it's like, I don't know, maybe he really will.
I'm starting to believe that it's actually a possibility. And I think someone's going to get fired because of it. I think someone deserves to get fired because of it. But the reason I'm starting to say that is because this is not the first beat writer that said it. It's the second one, actually, over the last 2 months that has said they believe Chris Carson is running away with the starting job, and that Rashad Penny is going to be involved, but he's going to be more like a change of pace running back. He's going to contribute on some third downs, which is odd because Penny wasn't known to be a great pass blocker coming out of school. So CJ Prosize should have that role for that team. So I'm really confused at kind of what's going on, but it is the second beat writer that said that. And Pete Carroll has been raving every single time he gets a chance to talk about Chris Carson. He says that he's like everything that they want him to be. Why did you draft a running back in the first round, guys? Like, you guys had so many other holes in the roster. And again, Pete Carroll, this goes back to the whole time. You remember that offseason when they drafted Russell Wilson and they signed Matt Flynn? He was a big-time free agent that was leaving Green Bay. And everybody knew he had it was like over a 400-yard game to close the season. And everybody thought Flynn was like this big, huge free agent prospect. Well, the Seahawks landed him, right? And then they drafted Russell Wilson. And nobody ever gave a shot to Russell Wilson, even though in camp they were saying Russell Wilson is the best quarterback there, and nobody wanted to believe that Russell Wilson was going to start because they had paid Matt Flynn a lot of money. Well, the season came, and Pete Carroll kept telling you, we told you we're going to start the best man, and that's what he did. So, did someone get fired over that? I don't know.
No, because Russell Wilson might be a Hall of Famer.
Well, that's the thing. But Chris Carson, you had him on the roster. Like, you were impressed with him last year when he was playing. Obviously, he got hurt end of the year. Maybe they were worried it was a Thomas Rawls situation where, you know, once he got hurt, he came back and wasn't the same player. I don't know what the reason was, but you don't draft a running back in the first round unless you absolutely must start him in the first year of his rookie contract.
I went back and I watched the tape on Chris Carson. When I saw this news, I was just like, okay, it's time. I need to see, am I missing something here? He's not very fast. He's not very big. He doesn't fall forward. He doesn't make the right cuts. He's just a mediocre replacement level running back. And what does that say about Rashad Penny? I mean, maybe Chris Carson got a ton better in the offseason. I don't think that really happens, though. I don't think you go from mediocre to all of a sudden beating out a first round rookie running back.
That's the thing, is I've been wondering what this says about Rashad Penny, because I think that they would be looking for every possible reason to start Penny. And honestly, we're going to find out really soon. You know, we have preseason games coming up, and we're going to find out who the actual starter is. Like, we're going to see who's on the field with the first team offense. Are they going to mix in the two and kind of say it's a competition for who gets the starting job? we don't know yet, and anybody who says that they do know is lying to you, because they don't. Pete Carroll may not know at this point. He might say it's going to be a competition throughout camp. So I'm interested to see this backfield. But the more we hear, you know, beat writers talking about that, watching, like actually watching the team, they're saying that it's not even close, that Chris Carson's the best running back. And I think that says more about Rashad Penny than it does Chris Carson.
So where are you drafting Chris Carson now? Because you have to draft him.
As of now, I won't draft him where he's going, because he's made his way into like the top 45 running backs he's being drafted as. Rashad Penny hasn't really fallen that much. I think Rashad Penny fell like two running back slots, and I wasn't drafting Penny where he was going anyways, because I felt like this was going to be a disaster. So, you know, obviously for me, I'm not comfortable drafting Rashad Penny as a low-end RB2. I'd rather have him as like an RB3 flex player. I know he's not going to fall to me there. And I wouldn't draft Carson as a top 40 running back, just because, again, why did they draft Penny if they felt like they had their starter on the roster? There's just so many bad things coming out. Seattle as a whole, like that team is just, it's tumbling down. There's not many good things I can say about what the team's done recently. So I don't think they have the defense that they need to run the ball a lot. Like, if you want to say that both Rashad Penny and Chris Carson are going to get carries, well, they better have 30 carries a game, basically. And Brian Schottenheimer, the new offensive coordinator there, doesn't do that. He's not creative. He's been really bad. Their defense is like literally a shell of what it used to be. Sherman's gone. Cam Chancellor's gone. Earl Thomas wants to be traded. He's not showing up. Everything is bad there, man. Everything.
Yep, I agree, man. I don't know what to do here. I've got some shares of Rashad Penny and Best Ball, and I'm just not happy about it, because it doesn't make any sense.
No, it definitely
anyone
doesn't.
Who tells you it makes sense, I don't know what they're thinking.
No, it doesn't make much sense. And I think the people that were drafting him, you know, as a top 20 running back, they were kind of going with the common sense theme. Like, they drafted a running back in the first round, they're going to play him. And if he doesn't, that's going to go against what history tells us. And it's like the same thing with Sony Michel. The reason I've been drafting Sony Michel as a top 20 running back is because he was drafted in the first round by a team that didn't have they lost their starting running back. And now the news, of course, came out today that Sony Michel walked off the field with a trainer. They don't know what's going on with him. So, unfortunately, we don't have news on that. But it's never a good thing seeing a player walk off the field with a trainer.
I saw Josh Doctson was hurt, too. He injured his shoulder. So, I mean, obviously, that's good news for Jamison Crowder shares. But I have some Josh Doctson as well. And I think he could be a big part of this offense this year. Man, if this is a significant shoulder injury, he's not even worth drafting if he's going to be out a couple weeks.
So I do want to tell you this, because there was actually, so he did hurt his shoulder in practice. He left with a trainer, and there was like a false tweet out there that people started retweeting and apparently got sucked into a fake tweet. Josh Doctson tweeted, actually, it was like 12 minutes ago, saying, "I'm good." So Josh Doctson, you don't have to worry about him. It seems like it was just like, it might just be like, he came down the wrong way. It just felt like it popped a little bit. And that should be okay. Like, if he says he's good, I'll believe him. But yeah, so apparently his shoulder injury is not like going to knock him out for the season or anything.
I'm glad to hear that, man.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Let's talk about some of these high upside players that are just kind of sneaky high upside. Like, nobody really considers high upside, but they definitely have it. Who do you see here, Tags?
Yeah. The first name, I'm going to go position by position here. I wanted to start with wide receiver, because I feel like that's the position where you could find like the deepest guys, where it's like, you can get guys that are undrafted who have really sneaky upside, who might be every week fantasy plays. And the first one on my list is Jerron Brown. Nobody's talking about him. Like, nobody. I don't think we've mentioned him on the show, to be honest with you. So I wanted to talk about him because Doug Baldwin, more news, by the way, Doug Baldwin is out for his like third straight practice. They're saying he's going to be out a couple weeks. When they say a player's going to be out a couple weeks, it's pretty worrisome. And it's his knee is the issue. So
Seattle just needs to shut it down.
I don't know if he has like an MCL sprain or something like that, and they just don't want to tell us exactly what it is, because they refuse to say what it is. They're just saying he's going to be out a couple weeks with a knee injury. So when you talk about this, you think, okay, Tyler Lockett's there, but he's really been a disappointment. He hasn't been as fast as people thought he was going to be. You have Amara Darboh, who they're saying is on the roster bubble that they drafted last year. They signed Jerron Brown in free agency. And if you remember, the Cardinals were really, really high on Jerron Brown. Like, the last regime, or like, you know, last coaching staff, Bruce Arians liked Jerron Brown, and Jerron Brown played well when he had the opportunity to. So I'm starting to think, like, Jermaine Kearse, think about this. Russell Wilson made Jermaine Kearse a fantasy viable option at times. If you have Jimmy Graham who left, you have Paul Richardson who left, you have Doug Baldwin who might be hurt more than they're letting on, Jerron Brown might be like this sneaky upside play that turns into like a top 24 wide receiver.
That's really interesting, man. When I was looking over these, his name, he's just the kind of name where it's like you're reading through the list and you don't even see him because it's just like, well, Jerome Brown, who cares? He's not gonna be anything. But you're exactly right, man. It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring his name up. Another one I have on the list is a similar player that people have kind of forgotten about. He's actually being drafted in some leagues, and that's John Ross. You know, when he was drafted last year by the Bengals in the top 10, everybody was drafting him as like a top 50 wide receiver. He was kind of like in the Calvin Ridley territory, DJ Moore territory last year. And now he's being taken as the 90th wide receiver off the board. Like, people have forgotten about him. And reports out of Cincy is that he looks phenomenal. I've seen some training camp videos, and John Ross is doing what John Ross does. He's not just a speed guy. He can run phenomenal routes. He's been working with TJ Houshmandzadeh this offseason. And Houshmandzadeh was obviously a Pro Bowl wide receiver. So that's never a bad thing for him to learn from him and AJ Green. They're saying that a veteran from the Bengals might be cut and might be a surprise cut, like Brandon LaFell. If Brandon LaFell gets cut, John Ross, I mean, he's going to have weekly fantasy play. Like, he's going to be I'm not saying he's going to be an every week starter with AJ Green there, but he's going to have weeks where he kind of blows up. If you remember when Marvin Jones was there in Cincy, he was able to have some weeks where AJ Green might have been shadowed. Tyler Eifert, you know, got hurt like he always is. And then Marvin Jones would have to step up. I think John Ross is someone with sneaky upside, and especially, you know, if they were to have an injury to Tyler Eifert or AJ Green.
All right, man, here's my next guy. And I think people are going to laugh when they think of this name with upside, but it's Kelvin Benjamin, right? I mean, Buffalo has nobody to pass the ball to except for Kelvin Benjamin. We talked about a couple shows ago how Charles Clay got like 30% of the target share last season when he was healthy in the first four games of the season and the last four games of the season. You combine those at eight games, Charles Clay was third in the NFL in target share. And they've got Kelvin Benjamin, who now knows the offense. And listen to this, okay? There have been seven players in the history of the NFL who have at least as many receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns as Kelvin Benjamin in their first 2 years. Randy Moss, Odell Beckham, Isaac Bruce, Marquise Colston, Larry Fitzgerald, AJ Green, and Kelvin Benjamin. Let's not forget just how good this guy was, right? He was a wide receiver two as a rookie and a wide receiver two in his second year. Yeah, last year he wasn't very good. He also got traded. He had Cam Newton passing him balls, and then he had Buffalo's mess passing him balls. I understand Buffalo still has those quarterbacks, but now that he's with the offense and he's the only piece there, I don't just think he has wide receiver two upside. I think we could be looking at someone who sneaks into the back half of the wide receiver one conversation. He could get 150 targets, man.
I mean, I don't know if it's 150 target ceiling, but I do think that he's boring production. I feel like he's someone who's being underdrafted in terms of like his target share, what he should receive. Part of my concern with him is that having multiple knee surgeries over the past couple of years, his knees are getting worse and worse. He's 6'5", 250, 260 pounds. He's a big dude. Like, he's just, I don't know how his knees are going to hold up. I don't think he gains separation very well. And I think when he paired him with someone like Cam Newton, who, by the way, NFL Next Gen stats, I've been working on an article that's going to be released soon where I go through the stats and I look at different things that they offer. One of the things was quarterbacks who throw into tight coverage. Cam Newton heading into 2017 was the most risky quarterback. He was willing to throw into tight coverage. I want to say it was like 26% of the time, whereas Alex Smith was down at the lowest at like 12%. So there were different quarterbacks. So we don't know what AJ McCarron is. We don't know if he's willing to throw. We haven't seen a big enough sample size. Josh Allen is a very inaccurate quarterback. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Cam Newton, to be honest with you. So it's very possible that Kelvin Benjamin, if he bounces back from these knee surgeries, that he does have that upside. I just don't want to bet on him.
Oh, yeah. I'm not betting on anyone's upside, man. Like, it's just a, you know, an educated gamble. And I think that Benjamin, a lot of people don't realize, yeah, he could be someone who gets 150 targets.
Yeah, no, someone in that Buffalo offense has to get targets. Like, that's the thing. Like, Zay Jones is still he's not practicing. He's not with the team. Charles Clay has dealt with knee injuries the past few years. LeSean McCoy might be suspended. You know, who are they going to throw to? Jeremy Curley? Andre Holmes?
They probably will.
These are the guys who are behind Kelvin Benjamin in the depth chart. So I definitely think that he's boring production that you can snag in the double-digit rounds and just use him, like, as a bye week filler, and I think he's going to be fine.
All right, man, let's go running back, unless you had another wide receiver with upside.
I'm going to mention a few more names at wide receiver, just because, like, I wanted to mention some names. We won't talk about them, maybe as the show goes on, we'll have more time. But I wanted to say Allen Hurns, obviously someone that might be the number one receiver. He might see 100-plus targets. Chris Hogan, obviously, you know, with all this news about New England, Chris Hogan has, he legitimately has wide receiver one upside. He's being drafted as a wide receiver three. Mike Williams from the Chargers, we've talked about him a little bit. John Brown, you're hearing great things out of him, out of Baltimore. Him and Joe Flacco are on the same page. He's healthy. And then Tavon Austin. I don't know if I should have mentioned him with the running backs, but Tavon Austin might have more upside than people want to admit.
I agree.
I'm not a big fan of the Cowboys offense. I'm not a fan of, I mean, Tavon Austin is a player. I think people forget how excited they were when he came into the NFL. He was like the number one drafted dynasty player when he came out as a rookie. Like he was the number one guy, and people were willing to spend a top two pick in dynasty drafts to acquire this guy. Like people loved Tavon Austin, and now all of a sudden they don't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. He's at the end of the draft. You could take him with your last pick, and like I have a feeling he's going to give you flex production in PPR leagues more often than he won't.
Remember 2 years ago, he was a top 25 wide receiver. All right, man. So who do you have for running back?
Running backs. I'm going to start with a name that we haven't talked about. Rod Smith. I have no idea why Rod Smith is being slept on. So basically, and it's happening with John Kelly, too. And it really blows my mind. You know, the running backs who are in great offenses, the ones that, you know, have a chance to blow up if a starter goes down. These are guys like these could be Alvin Kamara. Like, that's what I'm saying is like Rod Smith did a fantastic job. Fantastic job filling in last year. He played alongside Alfred Morris, and as the year went on, they started giving Rod Smith more and more touches. They drafted Bo Scarborough, guys. He's not a threat to anybody. Bo Scarborough's not very good at football. Like, he's just not a very good running back. So Rod Smith, if something happened to Ezekiel Elliott, Rod Smith would go and play behind the best offensive line in football, and he would be an RB1 most weeks. Like, that's just the truth. And John Kelly, again, another guy that would fall into a job if something happened to Todd Gurley. He walks into a job playing behind a rock solid offensive line. We talked about that with James Coe yesterday, and an offense that it produces fantasy points. And John Kelly, in my opinion, may have been the best pass catching running back in this draft. He reminded me of the way he does this little hop when he catches the ball as the ball comes into him, the same way that Christian McCaffrey does. And it's what running backs who are great receivers do. It's because they kind of float and allows them to focus more on catching that ball. John Kelly could be a three down back. He played alongside Alvin Kamara while at Texas, so I think Rod Smith and John Kelly are being so, so, so undervalued right now.
Yeah, I think, man, that's a good one. You know I love John Kelly. I've talked about Justin Jackson plenty before, so I'm just going to mention him really quick in case you haven't listened to the show until recently. Justin Jackson's the backup for Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon has toothpicks for legs. Justin Jackson is a player. It's not Austin Eckler who's the direct backup. Yeah, Eckler's still going to be involved in the passing game, but Justin Jackson could become kind of like Melvin Gordon if Melvin Gordon was to go down. Now, I'm not expecting that for anybody. With that said, looking at his legs, I think that he may be one of the most likely guys. So he's definitely somebody that stands out to me. Now, everybody else, all these backup running backs and everything, I think we've talked about most of the high upside guys, like Jordan Wilkins. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he takes over the starting running back job in Indianapolis. Apparently, he's in the mix. He's being drafted at ADP 60. When I say ADP, that's average draft position. So he's the running back 60 right now in drafts. That means he's going undrafted most of the time, and he might be the starter. I mean, you remember Alfred Morris in 2012, right? He wasn't drafted in any drafts. Yet he was the starter for the Redskins. He rushed for 1,600 yards as a rookie. I'm not saying Wilkins can do that, but I'm saying if he's the starter in Andrew Luck's offense, man, oh man, you're going to want him. So I'm drafting him at the end of drafts for sure.
Yeah, Jordan Wilkins is someone who he kind of went up and then he went back down when people heard Marlon Mack was back from his shoulder injury. And now all of a sudden we're hearing that he's getting more first team reps and that he's got a real chance to start. Anytime you hear about a running back having the chance to start is a really good thing, because what it tells me is that if there is an injury, he's absolutely the next guy up. And if he does win that starting job, there's obviously some value there. My concern is that Frank Reich runs the same offense as Doug Peterson, and it's kind of like a timeshare where it's like it's really going to be hit or miss for fantasy. But that offensive line in Indy is on the turnaround. Like they completely turned it around this offseason. I expect them to be a top 12 unit, especially with the run. So I think they're building that team towards something. I like Jordan Wilkins. Justin Jackson is worrying me a little bit. Just because the reports out of camp is that he might be battling for a roster spot, that maybe he's not the player that they thought he was. Now, again, this is just beat reporters. We heard Carlos Hyde was going to be cut from San Francisco. So you don't want to believe, you know, just because one beat reporter says something doesn't mean another one will. And it doesn't mean that you should believe everything you hear, because a lot of times it's these guys that are like us. All they get to hear is what the coaches talk about. They get to go and watch training camp. And that's what it is. They might be more informed just because they're around the team a lot, but it doesn't mean that they're a good talent evaluator.
That's true. That's definitely true. One other player I want to talk about, another running back. And, you know, he's the starter right now, and so people are drafting him. ADP, again, average draft position, running back 38 for Jamal Williams. And I know Aaron Jones has a lot of upside, but you know what? Jamal Williams really does, too. He's playing in Aaron Rodgers' offense. He's starting the first 2 weeks. They're not getting Aaron Jones on the first team at all, and it's not because he's, you know, I don't think it's because Jamal Williams is starting the first 2 weeks. I think it's because they view Jamal Williams as their starter going forward. If he starts all 16 games and Aaron Jones is just kind of nowhere to be found, I mean, Jamal Williams in this offense, think about what Eddie Lacy did, and he was not a very good running back. Jamal Williams could be an RB1 and nobody's talking about it.
Well, for sure. I think that both Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones carry that RB1 upside. You know, people are looking past Ty Montgomery, I think, because I think the Packers have to realize he wasn't built to handle the workload that they were talking about with him. Like, he's obviously a wide receiver who can do some things as a running back. That's how I view Ty Montgomery. I don't view him as a running back first, wide receiver second. I think it's the other way around. So the fact that he's going to be involved worries me, because I think this could develop into like a three-headed monster where it's like you just don't know who it's going to be from week to week unless someone stands out. I don't know if Jamal Williams has elite traits where he would stand out head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, some people love Aaron Jones as like a metrics guy. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say that either one, because there were times where Jamal Williams looked like he could be a workhorse last year on a bad offense. And then there were times where Aaron Jones looked like he, you know, he was like the big play guy. He was able to break more big plays than Jamal Williams, but he may not have been the better workhorse. So I actually agree with this one. I just think that I'm going to take whatever one's cheaper. So if I get Aaron Jones cheaper as the 40th running back off the board, I'll do that and I'll stash him on my bench.
I'm fine with them both, man. I mean, we don't have to pick sides here. We can say both these guys could be really good, and maybe one of them will be.
For sure. It's very possible. And that's the thing is, like, these high scoring offenses, that's why Alvin Kamara, I guess, should have been expected a little bit less. Not should be expected, because he was like the third running back on the depth chart. But the fact that he had a chance to do it, knowing that his offense was a high scoring one, that's the ones you want to look for. And that's why Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams give me so much hope, because we know that's going to be a top five scoring offense.
Tags, I did so many of these best ball leagues last year and did incredibly well in them. And the main reason why is because I listened to you about Alvin Kamara. I don't know if you took your own advice, but I had Alvin Kamara in like 40% of my rosters. I had Kareem Hunt on like 80%. I'm not talking about just like, you know, after the injury. I had him after the injury too, because of where he was going, it wasn't high enough. But before the injury, I had Kareem Hunt everywhere. When you're talking about these guys like John Kelly, they're the Kareem Hunts, they're the Alvin Kamaras. Get them in best ball leagues, and if you've got enough roster spots, get them in your regular leagues, because somebody's going to get hurt in the preseason, and if you've got their backup and they're behind a great offensive line with a great scoring offense, they're going to go nuts, and you're going to win your league because you got this guy for free.
Yeah, for sure, and I appreciate you saying that about Kamara. A lot of people, you know, I didn't own Kamara in a lot of season-long leagues last year, unfortunately. I did love the player, you know, and when we did like our dynasty shows and stuff like that, and I did my rookie profile before Alvin Kamara broke out, obviously. This was before he was drafted. I loved Kamara, and I said that he reminded me a lot of Jamal Charles. So to see him succeed was obviously awesome. I'm happy to hear your best ball teams did well because of it. But that's the thing, is just like it. Falling into the right or wrong offense can really derail a player's career. And I think that, like, you know, Tavon Austin may have been a different player if he played with Sean Payton. You know what I mean? So I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, nobody else would succeed in the role that Alvin Kamara had. But to see a phenomenal player fall into a phenomenal system, you saw the results.
Definitely. All right, man, we're going to get into tight ends with some upside here in just a second. But first, I want to mention the other sponsor of today's show, Lisa Mattresses. And, you know, I did my combine. I'm not going to tell you my scores. You're going to have to wait and see the video. I did my combine. I was super sore, slept in my Lisa mattress, and slept like a baby, man. I woke up the next day. I felt so good. You know, usually you're really sore for like a week after you do that stuff when you start getting old like me and you, Tags. But I slept in my Lisa mattress, and dude, that thing is just amazing. Guys, a quality night's sleep helps you recover from distractions faster, prevents burnouts, make better decisions, improve your memory, and overall just make fewer mistakes. It's not marketing, it's just science. To design a better mattress, Lisa leveraged 30 plus years of experience and hundreds of hours of testing to develop the perfect mattress for all body shapes and sleeping styles. Lisa's mission is to provide a better night's sleep for everybody. Through their 110 program, they donate one mattress for every 10 they sell. That's more than 26,000 mattresses and counting. Lisa strives to make the world a better place than they found it, but that doesn't stop with mattress donations. In fact, together with the Arbor Day Foundation, Lisa plants one tree for every mattress they sell. They're committed to planting 1 million trees by 2025. Don't miss these summer savings. Get $160 off a Lisa mattress at lisa.com/fantasypros. That's LEESA.com/fantasypros.
And Bobby, I wanted to chime in on this too, by the way, guys. And Bobby's not making this stuff up. I had back surgery back years ago, and I had always had back problems. And when Lisa Mattresses became a sponsor and we got a mattress from them, I was worried because I was told after my back surgery to have like a stiff mattress. So I did, and I woke up stiff every morning. When I switched to the Lisa mattress, I had concerns because it was a little softer than my past one. I actually wake up, my back feels not stiff at all. So it's got the right amount of firmness. Like, seriously, check it out. I wouldn't just say this to you guys. Like, check them out.
I mean, I wouldn't be raving about them and like adding my own
for sure
notes to the read that they gave if I didn't really believe it. Like, this mattress is so good, man. All right. So tight end, I'm actually going to start us here. I was going to let you start. Everyone's talking about guys with upside. You know, Jordan Reed obviously has upside. George Kittle, duh, he has upside. OJ Howard, yeah. I think Eric Ebron has upside. Some people are saying Austin Seferian Jenkins. I don't really buy that one. You've said, I think you're probably going to say Vance McDonald. We'll talk about that. Maybe Mike Gesicki. But my guy is Trey Burton. Like, Trey Burton, yeah, we love him. We think that he's probably pretty safe. He's the last, you know, of the tight ends that you probably want. Some people have him tight end 10. Some have him all the way up at tight end 7, like me. But I think Trey Burton could be a top two or three tight end this year. Would you be shocked at all, Tags?
I would not be shocked. You know, I've been working a lot on player profiles recently, and I was working on Evan Engram's today, and I basically talked myself into honestly, if forced to choose which one I would rather have on my roster in 2018, I would be hard pressed to decide between Evan Engram and Trey Burton. I could make a case where Trey Burton should be the tight end you draft, and he's being taken 3 rounds later. So Trey Burton, obviously he comes with so much upside in that Matt Nagy offense, and the fact that he knows it, everyone else in that roster is new. They're all learning a brand new offense, whereas he knows it. And Mitch Trubisky, if there's one player that he should understand, like that he should be able to go to and say, all right, you know this route, you know the offense, this is what we're going to do, that should be his go-to guy. And looking at the past offenses, you know, that those guys have ran over the last 5 years, no offense between Nagy, between Peterson, between Reed, none of them totaled less than 120 targets for the tight ends. So definitely love Trey Burton as an upside pick, but he's going more expensive. I try to dig a little deeper on this one and just like saying sneaky upside. And I think Hayden Hurst is one of those guys. Just because of what you figure, you know, the guy's 25 years old. They drafted him in the first round. They obviously had plans for him in Baltimore. They didn't have a tight end on the roster who can kind of walk in and start. So the last 2 years with Dennis Pitta and Ben Watson as their starting tight ends, they totaled 285 targets to the tight end position. This is the same exact offense that it was last year. It's got some new players in it for sure at the wide receiver position, but offenses usually run a certain way. They will tilt based on the talent, but upgrading to Hayden Hurst, you could say, is better than Ben Watson at this point in his career. So I think Hayden Hurst has some very, very sneaky upside.
I agree, man. Yeah, I don't know what they're exactly going to do with Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco. I think it's probably Joe Flacco at this point. But yeah, if they drafted Hayden Hurst where they did, he's polished, he's ready to go. They're even going to run the ball with him. I think he's got plenty of upside. I could see him finishing in the top 12.
Yeah, for sure. And like, and you mentioned Trey Burton. I think Adam Shaheen should be mentioned in that as well. And the fact that I think some people overlook handcuffed tight ends, and it's not, you shouldn't handcuff them, but I'm saying the guy that's who's behind the guy who's producing because he's getting targets. So Trey Burton, if something happened to him, Adam Shaheen is a red zone monster. Like, he started showing that last year, and training camp, you'll see these gifs out there of Adam Shaheen looking like Gronk. Like, he's going over cornerbacks and just snagging the ball. There was one in double coverage I saw where he's a big man. He's not the route runner that Gronk is. I'm not saying that at all, guys. Don't take this out of context. I'm just saying that he would have fantasy relevance. It was a major upside if something were to happen to Trey Burton. So I want to definitely mention him.
Even so, man, like, I think Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen can both be on the field and make an impact. I'm not saying that Shaheen's going to be top 12 unless Burton gets hurt, but I am saying this guy could be a star in the league if chips were to fall the right way for him.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that, I think that the Bears were planning on that, but the Bears, like, so under Nagy, they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets where he's the inline guy, and then they're going to have Trey Burton operating as essentially a wide receiver. So he is going to get some touchdowns in there, but it's going to be really unpredictable, kind of like Trey Burton was while with the Eagles, you know. But if for whatever reason Burton does miss a game or two, that's when Shaheen would probably step up and be asked to do a little bit more. So, yeah, definitely like him.
All right, man, let's go quarterback here. Who do you have for us?
All right, quarterback, I have two guys, and they're two oldies, because I'm not going to talk about the guys we've been talking about all offseason. We've talked about Trubisky. We've talked about Patrick Mahomes. These guys obviously have top 12 upside. Alex Smith belongs in that conversation. But these two actually have, I think they have top 12 upside, and I honestly would not be shocked if they finished there. I'm not just saying this for a reaction, but Eli Manning and Andy Dalton, they actually could finish as top 12 quarterbacks this year, because when you look at Eli Manning and the pass catchers he has at his disposal now, and Odell Beckham coming back healthy, you have Sterling Shepard, who proved to be a go-to guy last year, you have Saquon Barkley coming to the offense, you have Evan Engram, who was a rookie last year and stepped up in a big way, you have Pat Shurmur coming to be your offensive coordinator, who made something, you know, out of Case Keenum last year when he was left for dead in the NFL. I think Eli Manning comes back to fantasy relevance. I think people are going to use him as a streamer. I think he could finish as a top 12 quarterback. And then going to Andy Dalton, talking about those same weapons. You know, you have John Ross to get on the field. You have A.J. Green healthy. Tyler Eifert is healthy for the time being. And then you have Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard out of the backfield. So he has pass catchers galore. It's the second year in the offense, because the Bengals, part of the reason they struggled last year, we talk about it a lot, right? About these players going to new teams and having to learn a new offense. Well, the Bengals had to do it on the fly last year. The offensive coordinator was changed. I think it was after week two or week three. So as the year went on, you started seeing them get a little bit better in the system. But now that they've had a complete offseason, I expect this offense to do a lot of different things in 2018. So I think Eli Manning and Andy Dalton have very, very sneaky upside.
I'm buying Eli Manning. Andy Dalton, I mean, I guess we've seen him do it before. And John Ross is there. Joe Mixon can catch the ball to the backfield with the best of them, right? I guess I could see that one too. I mean, this is why nobody thinks it, is because drafting Andy Dalton, even in two quarterback leagues, is not sexy at all. It's like, oh man, I had to draft Andy Dalton. He'll be all right. But you're right, he does have upside, man. We've seen him do it before.
Yeah, I like Andy Dalton in two quarterback leagues. He's got safety. There's no way that he's losing that job. He's pretty durable in terms of how often he plays 16 games. He's got good pass catchers. The offensive line was improved this offseason. So, yeah, there's a lot of things to like about him. And again, we've seen it before where he's finished, I think, as the QB4. Granted, that was a different offense and, you know, a different time. But if John Ross, again, if he steps up and is the player that they thought he was by drafting him in the top 10, Joe Mixon, people talk about this and like how Gio Bernard's going to be the third down back. Don't forget, Joe Mixon is probably one of the better receiving backs in the NFL. Like, he reminded me so much of Matt Forte coming out. He was like a mix of Matt Forte and Le'Veon Bell.
I loved him too, man. He was horrible last year, but you're right, man. There is huge upside with him. We could be talking about him next year as the 1-1 pick, right?
He has the talent to do that. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if the Bengals offense has, you know, that top five scoring potential, and that's usually what I look for in the number one pick. But yeah, I could definitely see it. The talent's there. He has just as much talent. I believe, and this is, again, I don't know why this is going to come across as a hot take. I think he has just as much talent as Le'Veon Bell with Joe Mixon. That's what I believe. I believe he played in a bad team last year. I wrote up a player profile. If you guys haven't seen those, we created a landing page for them too. You can check my Twitter or just type into Google Mike Tagliere's player profiles 2018. And that's where all my player profiles are going. And Joe Mixon, I made a very, very compelling case that he should be drafted as a low-end RB1, but he's got upside to finish top five. Like, he's that good at football.
You know, of people with a chance to finish top five, you would probably put, obviously, the top five guys in there. Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Zeke, Saquon Barkley. I guess people would put Alvin Kamara in there ahead of them. But behind Alvin Kamara, maybe Kareem Hunt, Melvin Gordon. I think Joe Mixon's probably next in terms of most likely to finish in the top five, right?
Yeah, like if you go by talent, like a talent, all like looking at everything in the landscape and saying who's the best three down backs in the NFL, I'd be hard-pressed not to say that Mixon's top five. I think that he's a very, very, very special running back in terms of what he can do on all three downs. Like, I like Fournette better as a pure running back. Like, Fournette, I loved Fournette coming out. I drafted him over Joe Mixon when I had the chance last year, but if you took Mixon over him, I wouldn't have faulted you, because I believe that there's just whatever you're looking for in either running back, they can both deliver in different ways, but Mixon is definitely the more complete three-down back.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. And if he was on the Cowboys, I'd be taking him in the top 10 picks, no doubt about it, but he's on the Bengals, so... and he looked bad last year. So we'll see what happened with Joe Mixon. I'm coming around on him a little bit. Now, my quarterback, oh, man. Kind of like Eli Manning and Andy Dalton, I feel bad about saying this, but it's true.
What are you going to say? Are you going to say Sam Bradford?
Oh, no. Sam Bradford doesn't have that kind of upside. I mean, he's really good for the Cardinals. I think he's fine for a 2QB league being your third quarterback. Like, if you're drafting Jameis Winston, for, you know, he comes back after 3 weeks. You've got Sam Bradford at least the first 3 weeks, and he could be solid. I like Sam Bradford like that. But the upside, no. Here's the guy with upside, okay? And I'm going to start it with a trivia question. Who has the most games over the past 3 years of passing yards over 300 and passing touchdowns two or more? Is it Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, or Blake Bortles?
You're going to tell me it's Blake Bortles, aren't you?
Of those five, it is Blake Bortles. Can you believe that, man?
No, I definitely cannot, and it kind of blows my mind.
That is just nuts. And he runs the ball, man.
Honestly, it's hard for me. Like, when I go through my projections and I look at Bortles, I'm like, how does this guy keep finishing as, like, a top, like, 13? I think last year he was, like, just outside the top 12. But how does he keep finishing as, like, a top 15 fantasy quarterback? Because, like, I want to stop here for a second and say that Blake Bortles impressed the crap out of me down the stretch. Like, he looked like a different quarterback. And the thing is, all you can ask out of your quarterback is for them to improve year over year. Now, that's my issue with Bortles, though, is that in 2015, he looked good. He's solid enough with Allen Robinson. You saw Allen Robinson finish as a top five receiver. You saw Bortles finish as a top, I think it was top six or top eight quarterback. And then in 2016, there was some serious bad times with Blake Bortles. Like, it was like, literally, I was like, why is this guy in the NFL? Like, he looked horrible. And then, you know, 2017 started, and there were some more bad throws. Yeah, there were some laughable things in there. But as the year went on, the better Blake Bortles got. And I don't know if it's just this is who he is. He's Jekyll and Hyde. He's going to show up sometimes. He won't. But I think the Jags are in the middle of a rock and a hard place, too, is that they don't know how to feel about this guy. Because, you know, they gave him the one-year extension, and granted, it helped them with the cap situation. But Bortles, I mean, I just don't know how to feel about him right now. And if the Jags are convinced that he's the guy for them going forward, I think they need more of a game manager. But maybe Bortles can become that. I don't know.
I don't know, man. He was kind of a game manager last season, and they didn't trust him at all in the playoffs, even though he was awesome at the end of the season. But, I mean, you look at what he did last year. He didn't have that many turnovers compared to past seasons, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, 13 interceptions last year. He did dial back the pass attempts, though. So in terms of his percentage, it was roughly in line with his career percentages. So he did dial back.
It's got better all 4 years of his career, though, his interception rate.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. It's just like, you know, as they go through time, that's all you can ask, right, is that you hope Blake Bortles keeps improving. This team obviously is built to run the ball. You know, they have an elite defense. Like, that defense is going to be good for some time. Leonard Fournette, maybe the best 1-2 down back in football. Don't underestimate Leonard Fournette. They upgraded that offensive line with Andrew Norwell. There's so many things to like about this Jacksonville team. It's just, I think the volume might continue to go down for Blake Bortles. So I think you might see him around 500 attempts this year. It might turn into a Kansas City type offense where it's just like, they're going to pound the crap out of the ball and they don't need to throw it that often.
Here's another stat for you on Blake Bortles. And I kind of gave it away a little bit earlier, but there are only 10 quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, well, at least since like 1960, who have as many rushing yards as Blake Bortles in their first four seasons. Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Donovan McNabb, Culpepper, Randall Cunningham, Kaepernick, Robert Griffin, McNair, Michael Vick, and Blake Bortles.
Yeah, Blake Bortles is essentially Joe Flacco with wheels.
That's a good way to put it, man. And, you know, here's the other thing about Blake Bortles is, I know it's a small sample size, but we're talking about upside. And I've had some people say, like, why do you say that Deshaun Watson, small sample size, five games, you know, Jameis Winston, small sample size, five games, but you're excited about Winston, not excited about Watson because of that? Well, because the difference is Watson's being the draft as the quarterback two, and we're talking about his floor. You don't draft a quarterback two who, you know, who knows what his floor is. You do draft a quarterback 18 like Jameis Winston when he's shown the upside of being the top quarterback for 5 weeks. Blake Bortles finished the season as the second-best fantasy quarterback over a five-week sample size. there is some upside here.
Well, as I said, it's like every year you look at it and you're like, how did Blake Bortles finish as high as he did? Because we know he's not a great quarterback. But fantasy is a different game. And granted, you know, most of the time talent transcends and it kind of goes through to fantasy. I'm not talking about IDP because that's a completely different animal. So that's the reason I don't like IDP. So there's a lot of people that listen to the podcast that will mention to me, you know, Mike, are you guys going to cover IDP or defensive players? My issue with IDP is that talent doesn't equal fantasy points. Like it's a very happenstance. Like it just happens to be like the worst cornerbacks in the game might be the best IDP plays a certain week because they're going to be targeted a lot. And it's just like, it's a different game. So that's why we don't talk about IDP too much. I just wanted to mention that because there's some people who do ask me about it.
By the way, I don't mean to keep giving Bortles facts here, but it's so interesting. Like, one last one, okay?
You follow that account, don't you? The Bortles facts account?
It is so good. If you don't follow Bortles facts on Twitter, I don't know the exact handle. It is awesome. You got to do it. I mentioned those 10 quarterbacks. All of them were like stars, except for Bortles. Of all of them in those 4 years, Bortles has the most passing yards, guys.
It is at Bortles Facts, by the way, just so you guys can follow that account because it is fantastic.
What if you found out that was me behind the account? It's not.
Here's the last tweet, just to give you guys an idea. In 2017, Blake Bortles had more rushing yards than Michael Vick, Randall Cunningham, Bobby Douglas, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, and Bo Jackson combined.
I love those things, man. Every time I see one, it makes me laugh out loud. Every single time. Tags, let's move on over. We'll talk about offensive tendencies here. Then I'll close us out with a stat of the day that I was just shocked when I saw it.
Yeah, no, I look forward to that, man. I always look forward to when people come up with stats that I haven't heard because, like, our research, it'll bring me in so many different ways. And when I hear a stat that I don't know, it excites me. So as for the offensive tendencies, I wish that we could have had, like, so much more time because I could talk about this stuff all day. But, you know, I wanted to talk about some things that I've noticed while going through some of the projections and some of the new coaching staffs in town. So new Cardinals offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, you know, he's obviously Steve Wilks is the new head coach there. He's a defensive minded coach. So he's going to rely on McCoy to kind of run his offense. McCoy has never had an offense finish higher than number 12 in rushing touchdowns. And mind you, he has been a coordinator of 9 different teams. So never coached an offense that has finished higher than number 12 in rushing touchdowns. He's had just one finish top 10 in rushing yards. Though 4 of them have been top 10 in rushing attempts. So therefore, basically, his teams have finished 18th or worst in yards per carry in 8 of 9 seasons while he's been the coordinator. So, you know, when we talk about coaches that will get the best out of a player, Mike McCoy is like the opposite of that. So David Johnson, he's playing behind a pathetic offensive line. Like they need to rebuild it. I thought they'd invest more equity into it this offseason. They did not. There's some holes on the offensive line. And now he's got a coordinator who traditionally has not done much for running backs. Now, granted, he may not have had a running back as talented as David Johnson. But what I'm saying is that transcendent coaches get players to produce even if they're not of crazy talent. That's why Sean Payton makes running backs. That's why Andy Reid has continually gotten running backs to produce in his offense because they are different. Makers. Mike McCoy is not. So don't sit here and tell me that David Johnson is going to be okay regardless of who he plays for. Coaching does, in fact, matter.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm looking at it, and this passing game, there has to be somebody besides Larry Fitzgerald. That's what this tells me. Like, I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Christian Kirk. Maybe Christian Kirk ends up being the best rookie wide receiver this season. I don't love him the most. I don't think he has the most ceiling, but he's in a good situation, maybe as good as Michael Gallup.
I think it could be Chad Williams, to be honest with you. Their third round pick from last year. He was someone that was drafted much higher than I think anybody anticipated. Now, granted, it's a new coaching staff. We don't know how they feel about him, but word is that he's doing really well in camp. I think he's the one to watch as a potential difference maker on the outside, just because Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, they arguably play the same position, and that's an issue for Kirk.
Didn't they say that when they drafted Williams, he's going to replace Larry Fitzgerald. He's the next Fitzgerald or something.
No, I don't listen to that stuff. That's so bad. Nobody's the next Larry Fitzgerald. He's his own man. He's really good. But yeah, next offense I wanted to talk about, Bobby. This goes back to Christian McCaffrey and CJ Anderson as a duo. The Panthers running backs have rushed for 11 or fewer touchdowns in each of the last 5 seasons. That's not good. So basically what it comes down to is, like, even if you project Christian McCaffrey for 6 touchdowns, you're talking 5 at the most for CJ Anderson. And the fact that he's not going to be used in the passing game, you're talking about major capped upside. Or if you say CJ Anderson's going to score 6 touchdowns, McCaffrey won't have more than 5. And that's That's why when people ask me about McCaffrey and questions about him, I feel like he's one of the safest players. Is like a high-end RB2, a low-end RB1 in PPR formats, but he's not going to finish top five. Like, that's just not in the realm of possibilities for Christian McCaffrey.
Where are you taking him in drafts? Like, is he end of the second round, early third?
He's someone, it depends. So if you're playing in a standard league, I think that he's like an end of the second, early third guy. I'm not necessarily excited.
Yeah, PPR, I'm taking him like 14.
Yeah, PPR, I have him middle of the second round. Again, because like I don't want to draft him at his absolute ceiling. So I don't think he has top five upside. And granted, players in the first two rounds, it's rare to find equity in those players. But McCaffrey is like one of those safe players. Like he's going to get it done. I think people might be underestimating the impact that DJ Moore and Greg Olsen can have. Because a fun fact I came across earlier today, by the way, I was working on that Evan Engram profile I was talking about. Did you know that there was no tight end and running back combination last year in all of football, like all 32 teams? Not a single tight end running back combo totaled more than 185 targets. So when you talk about Christian McCaffrey and you talk about Greg Olsen, who is getting these targets? Because Christian McCaffrey last year, he saw 113. So therefore, if you go to the max there was last year, Greg Olsen is going to see, 72 targets?
Yeah, or Christian McCaffrey comes back down.
Something has got to give here. I think McCaffrey comes down.
And they're not going to throw the ball that much, too, because Cam Newton is not that good at throwing the ball, like you said.
Right. Well, so last year, the tight end and running back combined for 161 targets with the Panthers. Obviously, Olsen missed some time in there, so that affected that. But with DJ Moore, too, DJ Moore is not like a field stretcher. He's like a possession receiver. He's going to, I think his career average will wind up somewhere around 12, 13 yards per target or yards per catch. So he operates in a similar area as those guys. So, you start worrying about this and like, again, I like McCaffrey. I think he's a safe option, but I do think that people expecting him to take a leap into top five territory, I think they're wrong.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, last year he was phenomenal in a PPR asset. I mean, he finished 10th, though. Is he going to be that much better? He might get an extra 30, 40 carries. Is that going to launch him up from 10th to passing Leonard Fournette, Carlos Hyde, LeSean McCoy, Mark Ingram, Melvin Gordon? I mean, those were the guys ahead of him. I don't think so. I don't think that he has that much more left in the tank. Remember when he came up, he was as polished as they come. He was the best receiver in the draft class. And his upside, it's just not really there, I don't think.
No, and that's the thing. When you talk about the carries, you know, if he gets an extra 40, 50 carries this year and it's negated by losing 20 targets, targets are worth so much more than carries are. So if we're losing targets, that's losing a lot. If you're gaining 40 carries, I mean, for a guy that averaged, you know, just under 4 yards per carry, it's not a whole lot. It's not going to push him over the edge. And he only had 2 rushing touchdowns last year. Do we expect him to go up into the 6-8 territory? I'm not that guy because they have arguably the best goal line back in football in Cam Newton. So CJ Anderson's probably better in that short yardage area anyways. So it's just, man, McCaffrey, that's why I'm concerned about him and CJ Anderson spending, you know, capital on someone like CJ Anderson, knowing that they're lacking rushing touchdowns there.
By the way, if you don't want to pay what it's going to cost to get Christian McCaffrey in a PPR league, Duke Johnson was right behind him. He was the RB11 in PPR leagues last season.
Yeah, Duke Johnson, he's another person that I see losing targets. I mean, provided that Josh Gordon comes back. You know, rumor has it is that Josh Gordon, I wanted to talk about this. I totally forgot to mention it in the news. It's a rumor, so I don't know if there's any truth to it. But there's a rumor that Josh Gordon left the team because he didn't want to be a part of the Hard Knocks thing. That it was like the cameras following him around, that it just became more of that rock star mentality, and that he just didn't want it to affect where he was, like in his mind state. So there's been some rumors that he's been practicing with some local teams out there. I don't know. But if that's the case, I respect Josh Gordon if that's what's happening. And that's what I'm hearing. So I'm hoping that's the case because I really hoped he's a guy I was rooting for to get his life back on track. So Duke Johnson, I worry about him losing targets. Obviously, they added Jarvis Landry, who's, you know, really good there. Antonio Callaway, they added him. Corey Coleman's healthy. They drafted Nick Chubb. They have Carlos Hyde, who caught more passes than he rightfully should have last year. I just see regression there with Duke Johnson, but he's kind of like a Christian McCaffrey light.
Yeah, and they're not going to throw the ball more than they did last year. What did they throw the ball, 600 times last year? So, yeah, I agree. And I love Antonio Callaway. We haven't mentioned him at all. In a dynasty league, if you haven't already done your draft or if you can pull it off a trade for Callaway, because he's going to be buried on the depth chart. But this guy has a lot of talent, and if he can stay clean and stay out of trouble off the field, I think he's got a good career ahead of him. But yeah, he's blocked right now by Landry, Gordon, Corey Coleman, David Njoku, Duke Johnson. I can't believe how many passing weapons the Browns have. Tags.
Yeah, no, by the way, and like whenever I'm trading for a Browns player in Dynasty, don't trade for them for this year. You're not doing that. You're trading for them because Baker Mayfield's going to be their quarterback for the foreseeable future. And that's a good thing.
They're going to win a Super Bowl someday. They really are with Baker Mayfield.
I keep telling people, like, I'm not the type to do it. I'm a Bears fan. I'm going to be a Bears fan until I die. That's just the way the things are. You know, you are where you're from, and that's the way I will yell at the Bears, and I will say that they're making idiotic moves. I'm not that fan. But if you want to get on a fan's team's bandwagon before it's the cool thing, the Browns are going to be a really, really good football team as soon as Hugh Jackson's fired. And I hate to call for people's jobs like that, but he's not a good head coach, and he shouldn't be one of the 32 coaches in the NFL.
All right, man, you got one more team to talk about?
Oh, I do. Here, I'm gonna throw out two more stats real quick. We don't have to talk about both of them, but so Sean Payton's offense has been top 5 in pass attempts in 9 of 11 years while in New Orleans. His teams have been top 10 rush attempts just once. So don't go and think that last year was like a normal thing. It was an outlier, and I think it had to do with the efficiency of the run game. Expect Sean Payton and Drew Brees to start dialing up some pass attempts again. They added some options there. And then my other one that I had was that John Gruden's offenses finished top 12 in pass attempts in 5 of 8 seasons before he stopped. Top 12 in pass attempts, okay? In 5 of 8 years. None of his last 8 teams finished top 10 in rushing attempts. So no matter what John Gruden is telling you that we want to run the ball, we want to do this, like seriously, looking at him, looking at the new offensive coordinator, Greg Olson, that he hired there, they are not run-first coaches. I think this is all a smokescreen. I think John Gruden is playing into all this stuff. I don't think he actually believes it. I don't think he wants to turn back the clocks to 1999. Because if you go and read in between the tea leaves, he talks about Amari Cooper a lot and using him like they used Sterling Sharp when he was in Green Bay. So I think this is going to be a more pass-heavy offense than you've seen, or than people are expecting, I should say.
I want to go back to the Saints really quick. I'm almost wondering if maybe the reason they didn't throw the ball as much is because Teron Armstead has been hurt. And he's healthy now. If Teron Armstead is out there on the offensive line for the Saints, I wonder if Drew Brees just lets it loose this year. Has an MVP season.
He started the year hurt last year. He got hurt. I can't remember if it was the preseason that he got hurt. It was training camp. But he got healthy towards the end of the year. The offensive line in New Orleans is now one of the best in the NFL. They added some depth through this offseason. So
was the defense, man. These Saints could win the Super Bowl.
That's the only thing that could potentially hold Brees back from like throwing a whole bunch of passes. Just because like if that defense is legit, I think that they played a little over their head last year. I still think there's some holes in that team. Like Davenport, adding him, it made sense. They tried to add a little bit more. I think, who was it? DeMario Davis, I think it was. They signed him. So that, like they've been trying to add to that defense, and that's what they focused on. They added Traquan Smith in the draft. They added Marcus Davenport, a defensive end. The guy's a monster. If this defense is really good, it could hold back the pass attempts, kind of like, you know, Jacksonville's so good. But I don't see them being an elite defense in terms of, like, they're shut down, they're Jacksonville. Like, I don't think they're that team. So I still expect the Saints to take a step forward in pass attempts this year, though.
Jacksonville led they had the amazing defense, but they were also second in the AFC in scoring. So I don't really know if that really changes things too much.
Yeah, no, their run game was really good. And that's the thing is, like, people just forget how good Leonard Fournette was before the whole ankle thing. And TJ Yeldon, by the way, I didn't mention him during the sneaky upside. TJ Yeldon is absolutely in that conversation.
You know, it also helps that they scored like 8 defensive touchdowns. Is that what it was? 8? And they had like 4 called back. Man, this DST was so good last year.
They were. It was. That's why people want to pay for it. And people do this every year with defenses, guys. Just don't fall into that trap. I'm okay with them in like the 14th round, but don't be the guy that reaches for them. Don't reach for them in the 10th round.
Someone's drafted them in the 9th round. Just when that happens, please laugh. Feel free to laugh at your league mate who does.
Yeah, and then take Anthony Miller with the next pick.
In the 10th round?
Well, I mean,
you're drafting Anthony Miller in the 10th round?
You might get there, man. I'm telling you, this kid's for real. Like, you're going to see, like, so the Bears, I don't know if they're going to play him in the game tomorrow night, but I'm looking forward to seeing some preseason football, making some, you know, judgments. But again, I saw Anthony Miller up close. He's going to move up ADP as soon as people see him on the field.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we'll see what happens there. I've got a stat of the day to close us off, and this one kind of blew my mind. You were in the neighborhood. I thought you were actually going to say it, which would have been like, well, what do I do now? I have to come up with another stat of the day. Tags, did you know Mark Ingram had 71 targets last season?
71 targets. I didn't realize it was that high because Alvin Kamara got over 100, right?
Alvin Kamara had 101 and Mark Ingram had 71 targets. This guy is a steal. We know he's awesome on the ground. Like, he's run the ball over 1,000 yards two straight seasons. When he comes back, yeah, he's going to continue to get work on the ground. They're not going to run the ball with Kamara more than a dozen times in a game. They didn't last season. So Ingram's the guy, right? But he's also really involved in the passing attack. Like, 71 targets is a ton for a running back.
And so let me say that being a Saints running back gives you an added benefit of having Drew Brees. And I say this because the NFL average, and it's funny, I didn't know this stat until, I didn't know that you had this stat here until we obviously got here, but I have all these, dude, I'm not kidding. My computer, I have like 12 spreadsheets pulled up at a time because I'm just like, literally I have something for everything because I want to be prepared for stuff like that. So Drew Brees, the reason that New Orleans running backs who get targeted, like they don't even need to be targeted as many as other running backs. The NFL average for completion percentage to running backs is 74%. Okay, here's Drew Brees' completion percentage to his running backs over the last 5 years. 87.7%, 91%, 86.2%, 86.4%, 80.3%. Basically, you're catching 8 or 9 out of 10 targets that he throws you. You know, whereas most quarterbacks, it's just 7. It's just Drew Brees is kind of unreal when it comes to his accuracy in the short game. And that's why he set the record last year for completion percentage, because he's smart. He knows when to dump off. He knows who's open. He knows who can catch the ball. And that's why Alvin Kamara, it's a hard time for me seeing major, major regression. Like, touchdown regression will be there for sure. But on a per play, you know, yardage standpoint, I think he's going to be elite.
Yeah. Mark Ingram, by the way, had more targets last year than Sammy Watkins. He had more targets last year than Corey Davis, Kareem Hunt, Hunter Henry. That's a lot of targets for a running back.
Absolutely, yeah. He caught 58 of them, so he caught 81.7% of his targets. So, he caught almost as many balls as actually LeSean McCoy. It's just Ingram didn't actually score any touchdowns on those, which is quite rare.
Yeah, he definitely will. All right, man, that's all for today's show, Tags. It was a lot of fun.
It was, man. I'm just psyched that we're getting some new information out here. We're starting to see some training camps. We're hearing about people getting cut, maybe Eric Decker being signed. There's some good things coming up, so you guys don't want to miss an episode.
Tags, I just saw we're in the top 10 now for sports podcasts. Thank you so much to all you guys listening. And you know what really helps us move up those lists is when you subscribe on iTunes. The downloads, they don't really help with the ranking. So if you guys haven't already, please just subscribe on iTunes. It'll help us out a lot. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's weird how they do that. What they should do is they should track it by downloads, but it's not our algorithm, guys. We can't all be perfect, but we do appreciate the support. Thank you so much. I've had some friends reaching out to me saying that we're sounding better and better, and that's always good to hear.
Yep, and it helps when we get your feedback, too. So leave us a review. Let us know what you think about the show, what we can improve, what we're doing well, and we really appreciate it all. Thank you, guys. And thanks to the sponsors of today's show, PristineAuction.com, where they've got hundreds of lots that end daily. We're giving away a signed David Johnson jersey from PristineAuction.com, FantasyPros.com/contest if you want to enter. And thank you to another sponsor of today's show, Leesa Mattresses. If you go to LEESA.com/FantasyPros, you'll get $160 off an amazing Leesa mattress. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a groove of your love. But I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble. Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets.
Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.